Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
We encounter this every week. If you're in your middle night of the work week, or you're not even at your hump day yet and already feeling like it's been a long week, that's how I feel. It's way too early in the week to be this tired. So I brought extra coffee. We'll be ordering food because it's Hump Show. It's the middle show of the work week.
Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
It's our middle show of the work week, the Hump Show, where you get to ask Amy anything. So make sure you send your questions to our show Twix at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. And Ryan, who's filling in for producer Pete tonight, he will be posing your questions coming up about 90 minutes from now. So we're getting ever closer. The night is going to fly by. Every time I think, oh, you know, October's in the rearview mirror. November will be calmer. Oh, no, it's not calm at all. There's a lot that's still happening. And some of the firsts in both the NBA and the NHL seasons, for instance, would you rather be the Jets or the Jets right now? The Jets on the ice have won 15 of 16 to start the season. The Jets on the field, well, this time last year, they had a better record with Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, we're still early in the season, so we're seeing a lot of firsts. Leon Draisaitl, he leads the NHL in scoring. What about these Warriors welcoming back Klay Thompson, one of their own, to the tune of four championships and a lot of blood, sweat, heart, soul, mind, body, and basketball over the course of his 11 seasons in a Warriors uniform. And now representing the Mavericks, he was back at the Chase Center, and it was emotional, and it was wild from start to finish.
Over to Klay Thompson, guarded by Steph Curry. Splash brother on splash brother. Klay goes up, a whistle and a foul. It's going to be on Steph for a reach-in, and Klay Thompson's going to shoot two.
Like, just like in the old times at the practice facility.
Yep. They rise as one at Chase Center. Curry with the ball on the far side. Gets Doncic off the screen. Goes away from the Draymond screen. Dribbles in. Floater on the rim. Crawls over the front and drop through. Timeout Dallas. Stephen Curry's got his game face on. Screen by Wiggins. Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up. Shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go.
Well, you thought it was emotional when Klay was back inside the arena. The emotion in that moment as Steph caps a 10-0 run, a personal 10-0 run with a humongous three over the top of Derek Lively. And yeah, he delivered the night-night sign, so as in night-night lights out, and also just went nuts in front of the camera. Crowd's crazy. So Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, they're kind of lost in that wave of emotion there at the Chase Center as the Warriors are out to a 9-2 start. But this had to be a night that most had circled on their calendar in the first month. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome longtime Warriors play-by-play voice Tim Roy, fresh off that game. And I mean, I was emotional just watching it from afar, Tim. What was it like to be in the building?
It's been a while since we spoke, you married woman, you.
Oh, yes, so. That's me. Life changes, you know? It changes and then it stays the same.
Belated congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So what was it like to be in the building tonight?
It was great. You know, it was loud. It was noisy. You know, everybody had the hats. They had everybody, you know, sort of swing the hats when, you know, to show Klay how much they like and love him. It's really a cool moment. Tonight I'm never going to forget. And it's great to see him back playing and happy. And, you know, as selfishly I would have wished he would have stayed a Warrior forever, I understand all the reasons. And, you know, and then we get a great game to boot. I mean, it was just a lot of fun tonight.
I'm not sure I've ever seen an introduction quite like that one for a player who returns to a place where he's had a lot of success. Now, granted, Klay's won 4 titles. That's a little bit different. But the way that he was introduced, the standing ovation from the crowd that seemed to go on forever, even his former teammates standing up and cheering for him, I mean, that was so, I was teary, but that was so special. But I'm not sure I've ever seen it to that extent for a player who returns to a place where he used to be a star.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I was trying to think of how many players had come back who had won 4 titles for a team and then come back. You know, and I think that's probably, he might be the only one. I'd have to really do some deep diving to figure it out. But he was a beloved player in the Bay. And, you know, I mean, everything that he did kind of fit the Bay. You know, what player in the NBA buys a boat and takes the boat to practice? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, he's a delightful man, and he lives life on his own terms, and I think the Bay Area loved him for that. And so, you know, the fact that not only did he and Steph and Draymond and Andre Iguodala and all those guys, you know, got the first title in 40 years, you know, they had a certain joy about it. You know, they loved, you know, playing together, and it showed on the court. And I think that was part of it too. So yeah, I thought the team did a great job with the video, great job with, you know, the introduction and, you know, making him last and letting him, you know, sit there and enjoy all the, you know, adoration from the crowd. It was really cool.
I'm glad you mentioned joy, because I remember when Klay signed with the Mavericks, one of the things that Steph said is, I just want him to be happy. I want him to have joy playing basketball again. Because last year, the last couple of years were tough for Klay, but certainly last year when he got benched, from afar or from what you can see of Klay, does he have that joy again?
Yeah, I've seen him play a couple of times now, and yeah, it looks like he's having fun again. And you know, and the other part about it was, you know, because of the high standard he had set for himself, you know, and certainly among the fan base, every time last year when he would go 1-for-8, there would be, you know, a couple of articles and tons of calls to sports talk shows, and it was a big topic. And I think to get away from that to a new area that is just happy to have him there and they're thrilled, you know, I think that was important for him, you know, and establishing himself in a new area. And so I think that was part of it. But yeah, it was, you know, he wasn't happy last year. And that's usually, you know, I think Steve Kerr had said, you know, years ago, you know, they asked him if Klay was low maintenance. He said he's no maintenance. But after the injuries, and, you know, you want to compete at a high level, and, you know, again, the 2 injuries he suffered, it's hard to come back from an ACL,
right?
The torn ACL. But it's unbelievably hard to come back from a torn ACL followed by an Achilles. And, So for him to come back and even to play at this level is remarkable. And so, but I think it got frustrating for him here in the Bay. And as hard as it was for me to accept the fact that he was leaving, I think it was the best thing for him, and I'm happy for him.
Tim Roy is a longtime radio voice of the Warriors and had a good time listening to you and Tom do the game tonight, just kind of describing the emotion in the building. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Klay Thompson piece notwithstanding, the West is wicked, right? So he's going to help the Dallas Mavericks get better. He already has, which just as a side note, of all the people I ever thought I'd see him in a backcourt with, Kyrie Irving was not one of them. But this is how the NBA goes, right?
And so, yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
He makes the West even more wicked. We know the Mavericks went to the NBA Finals.
Chris Paul was a Warrior last year.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's very weird. It's so crazy how from one year to the next, you've got all these different combinations. The Warriors, the Thunder, and the Suns have all started out 9-2. The Mavericks are below 500 and outside of outside of that top 10. When you think about the start for them, what's powering their hot streak out of the gates?
I think it's the fact that they're getting back to playing the kind of defense they need to play. Getting back to being a defensive team first that plays fast. And the other component into it, to the moment, they've really cut down their turnovers, and that's huge for them. Their middle of the pack turnovers, which for a team that plays fast and the way the Warriors play, that's huge. And so, I think that the emphasis on defense, Jerry Stackhouse has come in, he's kind of hailed the defense with Chris DeMarco, two great coaches, and that has helped them immensely. And the depth, you know, when they knew Klay was leaving, they didn't just let him walk. You know, the engineers signed trade, and who do they get? They get Buddy Hield, they get Kyle Anderson, two pros, two guys who know what they're doing. And, you know, then you add Melton as well. So their depth is really good. They're playing defense. They're moving the ball. And so they've got a really good vibe right now around that locker room. So I think that's, to me, the defense is the main thing. If they play defense with the firepower that they have, they're going to win a lot of games. But in the West, you know, as we all know, you know, this year a three-game winning streak and you might move up four spots. A three-game losing streak, you might go down four spots. So it's going to be crazy.
I've got TNT on the studio in front of me, and I just saw a Draymond Green commercial, which is funny because I wanted to ask you about his temperature these days. I mean, he admitted to needing to mature last year, that his actions were hurting the team, and that was actually the second year in a row in which some drama with Draymond had kind of derailed and disrupted what the Warriors wanted to do. So how is Draymond these days, Tim?
Well, I think we tend to all look at players like they should be robots, right? You know, they're going to show up, they're going to play hard every night, they're going to do the right things, say the right things, and do all that. We forget they're human beings. And I think sometimes stuff is going on in their lives that translate onto the floor, and I think that might have been the case with Draymond last year. And he, as he admitted, he wasn't in a good head spot. He seems really settled this year. He seems like he's really focus. I thought tonight was a turn-the-clock-back night for him. He was active. He was deflecting passes. He was blocking shots. He was making the right plays. He made an incredible play on an attempted lob in the second half that was one of the best plays I've seen him have in a long time. And so I think he's in a really good spot right now. And I think that's going to pay dividends for them because not only is he playing well, but he's teaching well. He's teaching some of their younger players how to play defense and what things to look for. And, you know, he's always been a coach on the floor. I think now he's passing on that wisdom, not just to, you know, other veterans, but to young players as well.
It's kind of crazy to think about he and Steph now being the elder statesmen, but they not only are they two of the more established players in the league, but obviously they're bridging eras, if you will, for the Warriors. When we think about Steph and what he's accomplished, it's almost impossible to put it into even one paragraph, forget one radio interview. But I would like to ask about the Olympic gold and what that meant to him.
I think it was like just another bucket list thing for him, you know, and I think that it was, you know, he had won you know, NBA titles. He had won MVP. He won the finals MVP, which I think was, it was important for him to lead the team in 22 to that victory because, you know, there was no KD. There was no talk about anybody being injured on the other side. And so to do that and be the MVP, I think, was huge. His game four in 2022, I think, was a masterpiece. just the way he took over in Boston and set that thing back home, tied it two. And so I think what happened in the Olympics was that you know, he struggled the whole time. I mean, he was not shooting the ball well, not playing great. And then for him to come through in the gold medal game and just take it over, and the respect that he got from KD and LeBron in that moment when they said, no, you're going, go. We're going to give you the ball and get out of the way. And I think that was really special for him. Really happy for him because, you know, he's such a good guy. You know, I think he deserved that gold medal.
I heard a snippet of a conversation with Steve Kerr in which that you used on your radio program or your radio broadcast tonight, which he was talking about the goals for the team to make the playoffs, to make a deep run, to win the West, and to grab another championship. And he said he felt like that was well within what they're capable of doing. How realistic is that, Tim?
I think if they stay healthy, they're going to give themselves a chance. You know, if you look at their last four games, you know, they've beaten Boston. Yes, Jaylen Brown didn't play, and I think he's probably the hardest guy for the Warriors to guard. But there were like three or four times in that game they could have folded. And they just said, nope, we're going to hang around here. We're going to, you know, keep doing what we do. And you know, they pulled that one out. You know, they got waxed in Cleveland. I mean, Kenny Atkinson has those guys that, like, you know, they're just out there running, throwing the ball around, scoring, which is great. I love it. I think it's great for Kenny because he's a heck of a coach. But then they go to Oklahoma City, and yes, Chet Holmgren went down, but, you know, that's still a really good team that was beating a lot of teams. They win that one, and then they come back home and beat the defending Western Conference champions. So, I think that's legitimate. I think they have a chance. Yeah, because the West is so wide open that you could have one of six or seven teams maybe going to the finals. I mean, I really believe that. I think there's like six teams probably in the West that can probably get to a finals and do some damage. So, I do believe it. I think they have the right team in place, and I think they have enough depth where they can survive a couple of injuries, you know, unless it's to Steph. You know, he's the one guy that probably can't get hurt. But other than that, I think they can survive it.
Tim, before I let you go, the most insignificant question of this conversation, what in the world with these crazy colored courts for the NBA Cup? Sometimes the players look like they're walking on water or the color has been superimposed over the TV set.
It's all part of the NBA Cup. It's way above my pay grade. I just show up and put the headset on and do what I do. But by the way, do you still use your drop of the little Cavaliers? I heard that one night driving home from a game.
Yes, I do. And we credit you every time. But then as I genuinely will get sidetracked by going through every team with, I think the one that we use from you is the Little Thunders. And so we go through every team, like the Little Jazz and the Little Nuggets. And like that.
Oh, geez.
Yes, that is one of my favorite things that you've ever, well, I think it was a gift as a friend, that one of the favorite gifts that you've ever given me, because it's radio gold, Tim.
Oh, what a legacy I'm leaving.
Yes, the Little Lakers. How many years for you now?
Oh, 30. This is my 30th with the Warriors, 36 in the league if you count my days with the Kings. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Goodness. You ever get tired?
Yeah. The only thing I get tired of is the travel, you know, the packing and all that stuff. That's the one thing I won't miss. But I still love the work. I still love the work. Sometimes I'm not in love with the business, but I still love the work. the work is great, and I'm so lucky to do what I do.
Well, considering the fact that you went through, and I know we've talked about this, you went through some god-awful seasons in which they had, what, single-digit wins? I think I'm most happy for you.
We had 17 wins. We had 5 years in a row we didn't win more than 21 games. And that's just with the Warriors, never mind the Kings. But the I still want to last long enough so I can get my regular season record to 500. That's what I'm trying to do.
And so. Where are you now?
Oh, I don't know. I have to look. But I got a ways to go yet. So.
Well, the voice is strong. The broadcasts are still entertaining. You've got plenty to give, and I always appreciate listening to you a lot of times on my ride into work. You can find Tim online at Warriors Vox, V-O-X. It's one of the old school ways that we say voice for the people who don't know, for the non-cool kids out there. Tim, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's great to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you, Amy. Best of luck.
Thank you. How hysterical is that, that Tim knows that we use his drop of the Little Thunders and then the Little Cavaliers and the...
Thompson, deep three, curling, missing. Rebound, Wiggins saves the ball to midcourt, but it goes right to Washington. Mavs have a 4-on-2. Hardaway throws up a one-hand floater. It's up and good.
And Doncic got hit in the Little Mavs, I think.
Yes, he did. Got hit in the Little Mavericks.
Yep.
It's so good. The number of games that I've listened to on the Warriors Radio Network, again, because this is my witching hour, if you will, my waking hour. And so a lot of times when I'm getting ready for work, can't sit in front of the TV, so I need to follow these games. And the Warriors being so good for so long, a lot of my nights are spent listening to the Warriors Radio Network. And I've heard him do the Little Thunder, the Little Mavericks there, the Little Cavaliers, as he's pointed out. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. At Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. I'd love for you to share your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Ryan is on the hunt for some interesting questions, creative questions. 855-212-4227. Coming up, Mike Williams tells a really cool story. One that you almost had to see to believe, of how he got traded from the Jets to the Steelers and ended up catching the game-winning touchdown pass. So fun stuff from him, even as the Steelers get set to face the Ravens this week. Week 11. We're going into week 11. It's the Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
They break the huddle. Mike Williams comes to the left. Three receivers split to the right. Warren to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap. Back to pass, looking. Going to float it up left for Williams. And Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw. What a catch. Mike Williams in his first game in a Steelers uniform has hauled in a 32-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The game-winning touchdown for the Steelers over the Commanders. Of course, the defense able to hold off those Commanders. And remember, that wasn't the last play, but that essential final nail in the coffin was the 4th-and-1 snap that wasn't, because it didn't have to be. Russell Wilson with the hard snap count. And we'll never know if Mike Tomlin intended to snap the ball in a 4th-and-1 with that lead hanging in the balance. But the Commanders jumped into the neutral zone, got the flag, in essence giving the Steelers the first down and the ability to run out the clock. And a wild celebration there with their fans in attendance in D.C. Well, it was a wild week for the Steelers as a whole, but specifically for one Mike Williams. The call there on Steelers radio, he did an interview with Sirius XM NFL radio. It's kind of interesting to hear what he had to say about the week that was and getting traded, finding out that he's leaving the Jets and going to Pittsburgh, and then ending up on the field in a way that he can make an impact.
It was crazy. You know, I went from taking a nap to, you know, a phone call waking me up telling me I was coming to Pittsburgh, and I had a flight in a couple hours, and I just had to figure out what bag I was taking. And, you know, I ended up practicing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then game Sunday, and they just told me what was up in the game plan. And, you know, I had a good week of practice, and game time came, and just for me was just going out there playing fast and, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity. I got the one opportunity, and, you know, it was to, you know, win the game, and I was able to, you know, go out there and make that play.
I was taking a nap, and I got the call. That's awesome. Now, add to the mix that the Jets are terrible. We can't say they're officially eliminated because, of course, they are not. In fact, we were just talking in the wake of Monday Night Football with a columnist for the Miami Herald, and he was telling us, this is after the Dolphins beat the Rams in L.A., he was telling us that Miami's locker room is full of hope, believing that they still have every opportunity to make the playoffs now. Probably not as a division winner unless something goes woefully wrong for the Buffalo Bills. They already have a 5-game lead over the Dolphins in the win column. Well, and every other team in the AFC East. But the fact that the middle, if you will, the mean in the AFC is below 500 means the Dolphins are still very much alive. And they have hope that now with Tua back and this big win to end their 3-game skid, they can make the playoffs. Well, the Jets are 3-7. So if the Dolphins can have hope and make the playoffs, so can the Jets, I suppose. Except their mindset, their attitude is completely different. Aaron Rodgers talking about embracing the darkness, just the way that the team looks on the field, the fact that they don't appear to have the chemistry. Now, chemistry is ethereal. There's no one tried and true formula or even a formula at all to get to chemistry. It's something that has to happen organically. You can't manufacture it, obviously. And in the case of the Jets, they do not have it. They don't look like a team that's moving forward. They don't look like a team that can contend. So Mike Williams, because they traded for Devontae Adams, he's expendable. And so, now that's Alan Lazard going on the IR. That's a kind of interesting piece that you would think that Mike Williams could still be part of what they're doing. But Mike Williams gets traded from a team that right now is sitting on 3 wins to a team that is in first place.
It was a smooth transition. I think the fellas on the team made it a good transition also. Everybody cool. Everybody come to work, you know, to get better every day. And, you know, I was just thankful for the opportunity to, you know, to play football every day. So whatever I got to do, you know, give back to the game, you know, I always do that. So for me, I just show up every day, work hard, and, you know, make the plays that come my way.
It's interesting because we as sports fans, we're emotionally invested in our teams, right? And we are loyal or we are irrational, illogical. We don't employ a ton of common sense when it comes to our teams. That's where we come in here. I won't speak for me. I'll speak for me. I don't know if Marco has a lot of common sense when it comes to his teams.
I don't have common sense, period.
So the voice of reason resides here. But many of us, we get kind of emotionally invested to the point where we can't see things objectively. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the way it is with Mike Williams and the Jets, only that a lot of times when these moves are made, it comes with the emotions, right? Even thinking about Klay Thompson leaving Golden State and going to Dallas and how there's a lot of emotions surrounding that for the fans too. Now, thankfully, the fans still appreciate him and what he did with Golden State, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we're ticked off when one of our favorite athletes or an impact player goes to a competitor. Think about the Saquon Barkley move. That's actually a great example because there are a lot of Giants fans that cannot stop ripping Saquon, even though the team didn't want to pay him. Right, he wanted to stay in New York. At least that's what he said. The team didn't want to pay him. He could get a better gig and a better job, and let's be frank, a better team in the Eagles. And still, there are many Giants fans who are ripping him and trying to point out that the Eagles, they got a guy who can't catch passes. Blah blah blah. And I know I'm off on a tangent now, but wouldn't you say that's a lot of the sentiment around Saquon moving to Philadelphia?
100%. But a lot of people forget this. Saquon turned down basically the same deal from the Giants the year before and then tells everybody he wanted to stay in New York. That's part of where the Giant fan is annoyed.
Well, that's
because
he
turned down the same deal and then you turned around and said...
But a year later, right.
I mean, same contract.
But my point is that he, at that time, we were going through the whole running backs are devalued thing.
Right.
And so by the time it was a choice where he wasn't franchise tagged, right?
100%.
And felt like he had an option, the contract that he wanted was no longer there.
100%. The Giants he said no. The Giants didn't offer him again, and he turned around and took basically the same deal with the Eagles. So that's just part of the underlying, yes, where the Giant fan feels scorned, and it's ridiculous, and they're annoyed at kind of some of the silliness of when a guy leaves and he goes to your rival, But there is the underlying layer that, a lot of people always kind of throw out that, but Barkley wanted to stay there and the Giants refused to pay him. And the Giants offered him the same contract. He said no and then took it a year later from a division rival. So that's part of some of the underlying aspects of it.
Still, though, there is at least not any that I've come across, a Giants fan who is happy for Saquon and what he's found with the Eagles, because he's got a great role. He's productive. He's healthy. They're a winning team. I don't know how many Giants fans are happy for him.
Well, it's kind of hard, one, to be happy for your division rival. I mean, like, I don't care who the player is. You're okay with him, you know, go do you and do what you want to do. And, you know, you got the contract that you wanted and good for you. But I can't be happy that you're, you know, kicking our teeth in. Like it's a bridge too far, I think, for fandom. You can't root for a team that's inside your division or a rival to say, I'm thrilled that you're now beating us up. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Not for that part, but I'm happy for Saquon that he's found some redemption with Philadelphia.
Sure.
I don't hear much of that. All that to say that it's funny because we filter it through the lens of fans and that emotion, whereas the players, this is just business. And Mike Williams says, I showed up, I went to work, they all handle it professionally, so I handled it professionally. And while there may be some emotion, it quickly gets absorbed into, hey, I got a job to do, and they're all going to treat me like a pro, I'm going to treat them like a pro. But it's funny because a lot of times we view these moves through the lens of the emotional fan and the loyalty and all of that jazz, whereas players, this is just, sometimes they get traded, like in his case, he gets traded. Now he gets traded to a good team, but maybe it wasn't his choice. I mean, he got traded in the middle of a season, and that can't be easy to do.
No, and obviously Mike Williams, a lot of that comes from the Aaron Rodgers red line and all that kind of stuff. So, and there was, it felt like, you know, they laid it at the feet of Mike Williams. That one play is the reason why they didn't win that game. So, look, I get it, and I understand. And when you talk about, like, the lens of a fan versus the player, let's keep in mind, the fan, it's because this is what you have or what you root for, what you look for, what you enjoy, your whole life. These players, it's the game, but they didn't pick the team that they're on most of the time. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it usually had something to do with money, you know, where you are.
Unless
your
Garrett
life.
Cole.
There's a lot that goes into it. And a lot of them, they didn't choose, like, you know, they grew up maybe being football fans of different teams. So that's part of it too. Like, there's a disconnect. It's different for fandom versus what you do for a living. That's just anything in life. And it's hard for someone when you say, but you're playing for the team that I've rooted for my entire life since I was in the crib, and now I'm 54 years old and I'm tired of watching this nonsense. Yeah, it's personal to you. It's not personal to them. That's just how it is.
Well, right. Or they are able to sink the personal aspect into the new team and the new employer. A, because they want to win. B, because their careers are relatively short and you got to embrace the opportunities that are there. And I just love what Mike Williams said about the touchdown. This was back on Sunday. He said, Russell Wilson just told me where to go. Go run this route. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened on the touchdown as he was describing it on Sirius XM NFL radio.
Well, it was just a go ball, this one-on-one back tie go ball. And he put the ball in there and I made a play.
So simple enough. Hey, when you're a pro and there are a lot of different languages, different terminology, certainly different sets and systems, but a simple go ball. And Russ said, run it. And Mike ran it. And the ball was there. I mean, just at its very basic, it's pigeon catch.
I mean, when you don't know the language of what the offense is
just
and
go.
You come in. Well, I mean, again, you could just be told what type of route it is, whether it's got to be necessarily a go route, but you just got to be told the route because you don't necessarily know what the language is when
right.
you hear the play call because he hasn't learned it yet.
Off. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a simple, and he wasn't, if memory serves, he wasn't supposed to be in that play. There was an injury.
Right.
So he had to get subbed in. So it was just, you know.
Just go.
I mean, it's almost like schoolyard at that point. Russell, well, just do this, go. And whether it's comeback, go, whatever, just do the simpleness and be the player that you are.
Only thing missing is drawing it up in the dirt. That's the only part that's missing.
I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers has done that a bunch, especially in Green Bay. I feel like he definitely did that.
At Amy After Hours on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, about an hour away from your chance to ask Amy anything. So we'll get to that. I don't think we have time in our next segment to cover the whole Cowboys thing. Jerry Jones was on our Dallas affiliate on Tuesday, so we'll wait. But how about the new college football playoff rankings? Second set. They're more of a conversation starter, so let's converse. Here's our latest sports update.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's first and goal as KJ Bolton on the tackle, and the Rebels quickly will go to the line of scrimmage as they're in the Wade green zone here. There's a handoff to Bentley right up the gut. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Ole Miss. Beck fakes the handoff from the backside. He's hit. He's dropped. And the ball, does it come out again? It comes out again.
Yes.
The Rebels recover it. The hit was by Princely, Uman Mielen, and recovered by Perkins. The Rebels have stopped the Dogs.
We got a lot of work to do. We put ourselves in position now, not just with beating Georgia, you know, but beating them like that, put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs. So I'm not worried about the rankings and all that. That'll work itself out. We got two more games to play and need to go win those two games to put us in that position.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ole Miss pulling off one of the upsets of week 12 in the NFL. Wait, week 12? Week 11? Wait, what are we going into in the NFL? Is it week 12 now, right? We're going into 12 or going to 11? Oh, no.
Pretty sure it's 11.
This is bad. This is what happens. The weeks all start to blend together as though I can't keep them straight. So a morning colleague of ours, so this is how it works here because our headquarters are in New York. I know I'm going off on a tangent. The overnight crew, other than us, kind of empties out. So we'll have the last couple people leave in the next few minutes from working the overnights, whether it's in the newsroom, whether it's on air. But then the morning crew starts to come in. And so there's one member of the morning crew that arrives usually around this time each day to get ready for his role on the New York morning show, our New York affiliate, WFAN. And we always exchange greetings. We've known each other for a long time. And this morning I said, "How are you, Jerry?" And he said, "I don't even know anymore." And my response is, "You're right. What day is it? What date is it? What hour is it?" It's all blending together in the fall. Still coming out of a crazy October, and there's not been much of a letdown. So that's my fault because they all just kind of blend together. So it's week 11 in the NFL, week 12 in college football. That's what we're going into. Ryan's nodding at me. You got it this time. Take two. It's all right.
I forget to.
Yeah. No, seriously. I couldn't even tell you what date it is right now. I could guess, but it's November. That's what I know. Oh, I better get on it, though, because my 11-month wedding anniversary is in a few days, so I can't be missing that. That would be the worst, is if I lost track of the date and just completely let it go by without acknowledging. Oh, dear. We're still in that zone where we're celebrating every month.
I forget days all the time. It could be...
I can't do that.
In the middle of the summer, I'm like, is it July? I don't know.
I'm going to have to put some type of a notification on my phone just in case. Actually, I don't think I'll forget because it happens to be a weekend. It's not always, of course. But my nieces are coming from Virginia and Baltimore this weekend, and we're going to Broadway. So this is a gift for my nieces. We're going to see The Great Gatsby on Broadway. And it's also going to be fun because it's our anniversary weekend. So probably won't forget, but just in case, I better put a notification on my phone. So yes, coming out of all that, just to get back to the point at which we are coming out of week 11 in college football, and this was one of the big upsets, Ole Miss keeping its playoff hopes alive by going 8-2. Now, a lot of what we're hearing is that if you're at three losses, you're likely on the outside looking in. It would take some type of devastating chaos for the top 12 for a team with three losses to get into the playoff. Now, that could still happen. There's a long way to go. Well, there's a few more weeks left to go. Conference championships, that type of thing. But what our friend Jerry Palm told us is that three losses is really kind of the cutoff. So this is why Lane Kiffin says that they were able to keep their playoff hopes alive because they're now sitting at 8-2. And if you haven't seen the latest playoff rankings, Georgia paid dearly for its loss to Ole Miss. Miami also absorbed its first loss of the season. Now, as Georgia's got two losses, that kind of provided a shakeup for these second round of rankings with the expanded 12. So here's what we know. Oregon is still number one, undefeated. And so that was a no-brainer for the selection committee. They're now at 10-0. It was a easy, against Maryland, followed by number two, Ohio State, Texas moving up to number three, number four, Penn State, number five, Indiana. And that's a little jarring. Not that I in any way want to discredit what Indiana has done because they've got some quality wins, but it is a little bit weird or just different to see an Indiana ranked this high in something other than basketball. So yeah, their schedule, and it's really the way that the Big Ten has so many teams now, they can't play everybody. It's impossible. You don't have enough weeks on your schedule to play everybody, including the big dogs. So Indiana is one of the undefeateds. They're 10-0, and they're sitting in first place in their conference. But I would say their best win on the road at UCLA, I mean, they don't have the same strength of schedule as what a lot of the other teams do, but because they're undefeated, they're sitting right there in the top five. But it's still weird for me. That's one that's kind of a twist, and I wonder if that's going to hold. Then you've got BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame as an independent, so they've got a different type of a path. Miami, who just lost, Alabama, who gets that big victory this past weekend in Death Valley over LSU, then Ole Miss and Georgia. So that's the top 12. So Georgia, the two-time defending national champ, has dropped to number 12. Thought it was interesting on CBS College Football to hear what former coach Rick Neuheisel had to say about Georgia, but also about SMU.
Georgia fans can take a deep breath because this isn't the final ranking.
No.
But if it were, this would cause major confusion in the state of Georgia. They would be upset and then some. That being said, SMU fans also can be upset. They fell in the rankings, having not even played last week, and wondering why Miami is ranked above them when their loss is to Georgia Tech, who you don't see in that top 25, and SMU's lone loss with their quarterback, who's now their backup, is to BYU. Number seven BYU, or six BYU.
So I don't want to go into the matchups because it's way too early for that, but I will say that if you're not doing the math in your head, I can pass along that nine teams of the top 12 are from the SEC. I wonder how that sits with the Big Ten. Nine of these teams are from the SEC. That's going to feed all of the peeps out there who believe that the committee, college football, they've got a bias for the SEC. The thing is, the committee's made up of commissioners and officials from conferences all over the country. It's not heavy SEC people. But I do know that there is a distinct hot take out there that the SEC gets all kinds of favoritism. Nine SEC teams, four each from the ACC and Big Ten, and three from the Big 12. But again, the fact that Indiana is one of the teams from the Big Ten is kind of interesting. So yeah, Georgia lost to Alabama as well, right? So Georgia's got these two losses. Could it be, now some people are calling it a college football playoff elimination game against Tennessee this weekend, because if you've got three losses, you might find yourself on the outside looking in. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But every week now, you've got these landmines for these teams that can't afford another loss. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.